Whatever may be open to disagreement, there is one act of evil that may not. The act that no man may commit against others, and no man may sanction or forgive. So long as men desire to live together, no man may initiate. Do you hear me? No man may start the use of physical force against others. To interpose the threat of physical destruction between a man and his perception of reality is to negate and paralyze his means of survival. To force him to act against his own judgment is like forcing him to act against his own sight. Whoever, to whatever purpose or extent, initiates the use of force is a killer, acting on the premise of death in a manner wider than murder, the premise of destroying man's capacity to live. Do not open your mouth to tell me that your mind has convinced you of your right to force my mind. Force and mind are opposites. Morality ends where a gun begins. When you declare that men are irrational animals and propose to treat them as such, you define thereby your own character and can no longer claim the sanction of reason, as no advocate of contradictions can claim it. There can be no right to destroy the source of rights, the only means of judging right or wrong, the mind. To force a man to drop his own mind and to accept your will as a substitute with a gun in place of a syllogism, with terror in place of proof, and death as the final argument, is to attempt to exist in defiance of reality. Reality demands of man that he act for his own rational interest. Your gun demands of him that he act against it. Reality threatens man with death if he does not act on his rational judgment. You threaten him with death if he does. You place him into a world where the price of his life is the surrender of all the virtues required by life. And death, by a process of gradual destruction, is all that you and your system will achieve. When death is made to be the ruling power, the winning argument in a society of men. Be it a highwayman who confronts a traveler with the ultimatum, your money or your life, or a politician who confronts a country with the ultimatum, your children's education or your life. The meaning of that ultimatum is your mind or your life. And neither is possible to a man without the other. If there are degrees of evil, it is hard to say who is the more contemptible, the brute who assumes the right to force the mind of others, or the moral degenerate who grants to others the right to force his mind. That is the moral absolute one does not leave open to debate. I do not grant the terms of reason to men who propose to deprive me of reason. I do not enter discussions with neighbors who think they can forbid me to think. I do not place my moral sanction upon a murderer's wish to kill me. When a man attempts to deal with me by force, I answer him, by force. It is only as retaliation that force may be used, and only against the man who starts its use. No, I do not share his evil or sink to his concept of morality. I merely grant him his choice, destruction, the only destruction he had the right to choose, his own. He uses force to seize a value. I use it only to destroy destruction. A hold-up man seeks to gain wealth by killing me. I do not grow richer by killing a hold-up man. I seek no values by means of evil, nor do I surrender my values to evil. In the name of all the producers who have kept you alive and received your death ultimatums in payment, I now answer you with a single ultimatum of our own. Our work or your guns. You can choose either. You can't have both. We do not initiate the use of force against others, or submit to force at their hands. If you desire ever again to live in an industrial society, it will be on our moral terms. Our terms and our motive power are the antithesis of yours. You have been using fear as your weapon, and have been bringing death to man as his punishment for rejecting your morality. We offer him life as his reward for accepting ours. You who are worshippers of the zero, you have never discovered that achieving life is not the equivalent of avoiding death. Joy is not the absence of pain. Intelligence is not the absence of stupidity. Light is not the absence of darkness. An entity is not the absence of a non-entity. Building is not done by abstaining from demolition. Centuries of sitting and waiting in such abstinence will not raise one single girder for you to abstain from demolishing. And now you can no longer say to me, the builder, produce and feed us in exchange for our not destroying your production. I am answering in the name of all your victims, perish with and in your own void. Existence is not a negation of negatives. Evil, not value, is an absence and a negation. Evil is impotent and has no power but that which we let it extort from us. Perish, because we have learned that a zero cannot hold a mortgage over life. You seek escape from pain. We seek the achievement of happiness. You exist for the sake of avoiding punishment. We exist for the sake of earning rewards. Threats will not make us function. Fear is not our incentive. It is not death that we wish to avoid, but life that we wish to live. You who have lost the concept of the difference, you who claim that fear and joy are incentives of equal power, and secretly add that fear is the more practical, you do not wish to live, and only fear of death still holds you to the existence you have damned. You dart in panic through the trap of your days, looking for the exit you have closed, running from a pursuer you dare not name to a terror you dare not acknowledge. And the greater your terror, the greater your dread of the only act that could save you. Thinking. The purpose of your struggle is not to know, not to grasp or name or hear the thing I shall now state to your hearing, that yours is the morality of death. Death is the standard of your values. Death is your chosen goal. And you have to keep running, since there is no escape from the pursuer who is out to destroy you, or from the knowledge that that pursuer is yourself. Stop running for once. There is no place to run. Stand naked, as you dread to stand, but as I see you, and take a look at what you dared to call a moral code. Damnation is the start of your morality. Destruction is its purpose, means, and end. Your code begins by damning man as evil, then demands that he practice a good which it defines as impossible for him to practice. It demands as his first proof of virtue that he accept his own depravity without proof. It demands that he start not with the standard of value, but with the standard of evil, which is himself, by means of which he is then to define the good. The good is that which he is not. It does not matter who then becomes the profiteer, on his renounced glory and tormented soul, a mystic god with some incomprehensible design, or any passerby whose rotting sores are held as some inexplicable claim upon him. It does not matter. The good is not for him to understand. His duty is to crawl through years of penance atoning for the guilt of his existence to any stray collector of unintelligible debts. His only concept of a value is a zero. The good is that which is non-man. The name of this monstrous absurdity is original sin. A sin without volition is a slap at morality and an insolent contradiction in terms. That which is outside the possibility of choice is outside the province of morality. If man is evil by birth, he has no will, no power to change it. If he has no will, he can be neither good nor evil. A robot is amoral. To hold as man's sin a fact not open to his choice is a mockery of morality. To hold man's nature as his sin is a mockery of nature. To punish him for a crime he committed before he was born is a mockery of justice. To hold him guilty in a matter where no innocence exists is a mockery of reason. To destroy morality, nature, justice, and reason by means of a single concept is a feat of evil hardly to be matched, yet that is the root of your code. Do not hide behind the cowardly evasion that man is born with free will but with a tendency to evil. A free will saddled with a tendency is like a game with loaded dice. It forces man to struggle through the effort of playing, to bear responsibility and pay for the game, but the decision is weighted in favor of a tendency that he had no power to escape. If the tendency is of his choice, he cannot possess it at birth. If it is not of his choice, his will is not free. What is the nature of the guilt that your teachers call his original sin? What are the evils man acquired when he fell from a state they consider perfection? Their myth declares that he ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge. He acquired a mind and became a rational being. It was the knowledge of good and evil. He became a moral being. He was sentenced to earn his bread by his labor. He became a productive being. He was sentenced to experience desire. He acquired the capacity of sexual enjoyment. The evils for which they damn him are reason, morality, creativeness, joy, all the cardinal values of his existence. It is not his vices that their myth of man's fall is designed to explain and condemn. It is not his errors that they hold as his guilt, but the essence of his nature as man.